Our first scripture lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24 of the New Revised Standard Version. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. May God bless our reading and hearing of the scripture. Thanks be to God.
Picking up at verse 25 in Luke's gospel. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. God bless our reading and hearing of the scriptures.
Thanks be to God.
So Joseph and Mary went about doing what was customary in the law. They went to the temple at 8 days to have their child circumcised and to have Mary purified. That was what was in the law, so they did what was required of them. It was something that they had to do, but it wasn't something that they just had to do because they had to do it. I don't think that they went to the temple in drudgery. They went to the temple because it was what they needed to do, and I assume that they probably did it with joy and with thanksgiving. So they go and they encounter the man that who was supposed to do it, whose name was Simeon. And he said something like, "Wow, I've been waiting for this day my whole life. Now I can die in peace." It's kind of an odd statement, right? But he'd been waiting for this. He'd been waiting to see the Savior of the world come into his presence. And he knew it was Jesus the moment that he took this baby into his arms, the moment that Mary gave him to him. He knew it. He knew that it was Jesus. So Simeon blesses him and does what he needs to do. And the scripture says that Joseph and Mary were awed and were blessed by the words that Simeon gave. So what we have here is a story about Joseph's and Mary's everyday life experience of taking their baby to the temple to do an everyday life's ritual, a ritual experience of joy, of an everyday experience of welcoming their child into their life and celebrating with their community of faith and celebrating with joy and thanksgiving God's love and God's graciousness in their lives and giving thanks. How often do we in this modern world do those kinds of ritual experiences anymore? In those days in the Jewish life, those kinds of rituals happened every day. When they woke up in the morning, they praised God with a ritual kind of experience. When they went to bed, they praised God with a ritual kind of experience. During the middle of the day, they stopped and had a ritual kind of experience. Now, over the years, it became more of a law kind of oriented thing. So as Christianity came into being, those kinds of things kind of lifted. And now, as we got into modern life, those things kind of have faded away altogether. And when we see people stop in the middle of the day to pray, what do we think about those kinds of people? Well, we think they're religious fanatics. Oh, look at those people. They're praying at their table. Look at that guy over there. What is he doing? And we think, oh, they're nuts. They're actually praising God and, they're kind of crazy. What are you doing on Sunday morning? You're going to church? Why are you doing that? Why is that necessary? Are you a Jesus freak or something? We live in this kind of modern society where we really don't think that God's necessary anymore. And I find that fascinating. Modern life, where we really only need our phones, we think, right? Where we go out into the community and we see people looking down at our phones, or I don't know about you, but the other day I was driving here in Norfolk and I looked over and this guy was in his SUV. Now, I'm not complaining, I have an SUV, so whatever, but I looked over, he was a little bit higher than me, and what was he doing at the stop? He was looking down at his phone. Now, he might have been looking at a prayer app. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But how often do we pray during the day? How often do we just stop and give thanks to God for absolutely no reason at all? How often do we just stop and maybe look at a devotional guide to help guide our thoughts and our prayers and stop and just say, hey God, thanks for your love in my life. Thanks for what you're doing for me in my life. Thanks for all of your love. Thanks for all of your gracious and loving kindness in my life. How often do we do that? In our everyday life's experience, is God actually active in our lives? Now, God's active in our life, but how often do we accept that love into our lives and actually acknowledge that God is in our life? In our modern life, sometimes we just don't really think that God's there, or that we acknowledge God's presence. But I think even more in our modern life, as we spend more time on technology, we need God in our lives because we have become more and more and more separated from one another. The more we spend away from one another online, the more separated we become. And the more isolated and alienated we become from one another. I believe we need each other. And I believe we need, once again, that ritual community of faith to come back together more often, because I believe we need one another in our community of faith. We need each other. We need each other. I think we need to come together more often to be in this building or to go out with one another more frequently. Because when we're together, we're able to discuss with one another how it's going in our lives, to be together with one another, to encourage one another, to keep one another on their toes, and to ask one another, how is it really going in their lives, and to love one another as Christ has loved us. It's important to allow God to move in our lives and to be important in our lives. One of the things that Simeon says is that salvation has come into our lives. The name Jesus means saved, he who saves. That's why he is named Jesus. He has come into the world to save us. That's an important word for us. Jesus has come into the world to save, what Matthew says, to save his people from their sins. Romans tells us that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned, right? We have all sinned. Whether we like it or not, we have all sinned. You've probably already committed a sin already. You've probably thought in your head something ugly about someone else. You probably have, whether you know it or not. You probably didn't speed today. No, you probably actually drove, hopefully, quite slow. You might have thought a negative thought about how someone else was driving today. You might have. I don't know what's going on in your own head or what's going on in your own heart. But we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need Jesus. There's no doubt about it. Jesus was born, he lived, and he died, and he resurrected from the dead for our lives and for our salvation. There's no doubt about it. When we say yes to Jesus in our lives, we accept that salvation for ourselves, and we each experience that salvation in different kinds of ways. Each of us has our own life experience about how we have done that. They're all okay. They're all acceptable. However we have experienced Christ is good. We have all experienced that kind of salvation, taken that in and said, yeah, I want that for my life. If we have done that, and if we have accepted Christ, and we say that we are a Christian, that ought to mean something. That ought to mean something for us. That ought to make a difference in how we are in the world. That ought to mean something when we go out into Norfolk, Nebraska, and live our lives. That ought to change who we are just a little bit. That ought to make a difference in our lives and how we impact the world and how we live our lives. In the words that we use, in the thought processes that go through our brains, the things that we buy, how we live our lives, what we give to the community of faith, how often we pray during the day, how we give of our time and our talents to the life of the church. Do we go to church? How we speak to one another and how we live in community with one another, it ought to impact our lives. How we speak to one another, how we're in community with one another. If Jesus came into the world to give our life, to give his life for our salvation, and we doesn't impact our life at all and it doesn't change us at all, well then his birth, his life, and his death and his resurrection is in vain. It ought to mean something. It ought to mean something for him, and it ought to mean something for us. It has to do something for us in our lives. It has been for me, and I know it has meant something to you because I've seen it and I have experienced it in the way that you have lived your life. It needs to impact us just a little bit more in how we live our lives and how we go out into the world and impact others in the world. We need more of God in our hearts and in our minds. And the more that we practice our religion, the more we grow closer to God. So how do we do that? I believe we can do that through prayer. We can grow closer to God in our prayer life. How many times do you pray during the day? Well, Paul says you can pray all day. I used to, when we were in Topeka, I was adjunct faculty, so I would walk from the campus ministry building over to the other building where I taught. And I probably have told you this story before, but there was a beautiful flower bed that I passed by. Had bees in it, but they were paying more attention to the flowers than they were for me. But they had gorgeous butterflies. It was an effort to reach butterflies because butterflies are endangered species. So I would just stand there and I would talk to the flowers. And I would talk to the butterflies, but I was actually talking to God. It was my way of encountering God in just my everyday life. That is awesome. Prayer is a way that we can be in relationship with God and with one another. We can use our gifts and our talents in this place in a variety of ways. We can love one another as God has loved us. We can give of our time and our service out in the community. There's lots of things that we can do out there, lots of service opportunities to be with one another. Wow. There are lots of things that we can do to grow closer to God. And we can be better for it in the world and in our own lives. Mary and Joseph were living their lives. They were following the law, and at 8 days, they went to their temple to follow through with the ritual law. They did what all parents did when their child was 8 days old, and they followed through, and the priest did what he was supposed to do, and they followed through, and they were better for it, and they praised God. What a wonderful, wonderful example they are to us about how ritual can enliven us and offer us the opportunity to praise God. Every day we have an opportunity to praise God. In the morning when we wake up, in the middle afternoon, and those days and those opportunities when we go to bed. Praise God all the time because God has always given us blessing. Have you been blessed by God? Are you awake? Have you been blessed by God? Always return blessings to God. Always have an opportunity to praise God for all the many blessings that God has given to us. Even if we have been in the midst of struggle, there's always an opportunity to praise God for all the many blessings that God has given to us. Amen.